Ladies and gentlemen, Musical Chairs is on the air.
Artists, songwriters, instrumentalists, producers, sound engineers,
and anyone else in the arts.
Thank you for joining us. On this episode of Musical Chairs, we have a new guest who's sure to entertain and inspire you. Hear their story, feel their passion, and join them in their journey as we put them in the chair. Now please welcome your hosts, Lisa Berry and Eric Lambier.
Woohoo!
Hello, everyone. Hello, America.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Musical Chairs.
We're on the air again.
Well, Eric, wowzers, we've got wowzers. Now, my funny words of the day.
That's great.
I just have been so surprised at the interest for today's show for so many reasons. And we've titled it, well, I've kind of titled it, Stories, like all the stories and storytelling and how stories live on and really what is a story, because our guests today both have pretty incredible stories.
They sure do. And our first guest is a pretty big one, I got to say. Hey, Lisa? Do you want to introduce them, or do you want to?
You can do the big introduction.
Well, this is a big introduction. We always do this little drum roll. Hope you guys can hear that. Today we have Gordon Depp of the Spoons on our show today. We'd like to welcome you, Gordon. How are you doing, Gordon?
I'm doing great. I'm just listening to you guys. I'm getting all pumped up listening to your intro. Great.
There you go.
Well, welcome to the show.
And you know, we've been pumped up with you. As we've been reading about all this stuff, you know, I love the thing about the stories, because it keeps growing and growing and it continues. And your story spans with the Spoons over 30 years.
Well, you know what? I think it's going to be 40 years next year. We're like in a rush in maternal overdrive territory. We're getting right up there.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
I just got older all of a sudden.
Oh, no. Okay, well, let's back that up. We're going to turn you younger really quick.
Say 30. Say 30.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, the thing is, in all of that time, you know what, there's been some huge achievements, and we're not going to be focusing too much on the past, but we just want to just share with everybody, because as even Eric and I were going through what you guys have shared and created and all the joy that you've brought people, I mean, it's just incredible. And Eric, do you
want to
cut some of the songs?
Well, do you want to read? How do we read the bio?
Oh, well, that's the new album. I want to save it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
let Gord talk about the songs then. So, how did this all get started? Hey, look, we just do that. We can find it out. How did you do that? How did you guys get together?
You mean at the very beginning of it all? That way back?
Yeah, we'll just go way back for a bit.
Okay, well, yeah, just a bunch of kids in high school, you know, that's how young we were when we started. I wasn't in the high school band. I played the saxophone. Sandy was a cute little girl, played the trumpet, you know, and we are still the founding members 40 years later. It started from the high school band, and we decided to put a little rock band together on the side. But back then, that was the 70s, so we were, believe it or not, into progressive rock, you know, bands like Genesis and Yes and thing. We never thought in a million years we'd get on the radio. And then the new wave thing started, you know, in 1980. And we thought, wait a second, we could change a few little elements and fit in. So we did.
Wow.
And luckily, you know, we were young and the video age was starting. That's a whole other subject. And overnight, everybody knew who we were because, you know, we caught that video age right as it was starting.
That was your first hit, Nova Heart, then?
Yes. Yep. It was. I don't know if you even know the video, but that was very un-rock and roll. I mean, there's Sandy in a tutu on a swing and this weird board he's carrying around. It was a funny time for video. Everybody had no budget, and we just sort of made it up as we went along, but it stuck.
Actually, you know what? Eric found something really cool speaking about no budget. And
well, what I found out was about your Romantic Traffic video that you guys did, which was an awesome video in the 80s. And then that was I was reading that it was your cheapest video you guys ever did.
And
yeah,
I
think we did 11 videos total, and it's like the only one I really like to watch. And it was just us and a handheld camera and one camera guy, and we just made it up as we went along in the subways of Toronto. You know, we just went along, used existing lighting and everything. There was nothing to it, really. But because for that reason, it's just us. And everybody in the band's character comes through really strong in that. You know, and sometimes in the 80s, they wanted you to act, you know, or perform or be, you know, even be a character in a story. And we're not actors, you know, we don't want to look goofy. So I think when you're let alone and be yourself, that really works the best.
Exactly. It catches you exactly how you really are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just wondering that. I just love that be left alone and be yourself. And you know what? And just in that way, here you guys are, the high school band, having a, you know, a dream, but not that big. And it just grows and grows. And
what was cool about that, you probably could use a lot of the keyboards that you had for the progressive rock thing too, right? Back in the
totally.
Day.
Oh yeah. It was the same elements. Like Sandy had the old bass pedals from, you know, like the Genesis used to have the old Moog bass pedals, but we used that in Novaheart. You know, Yeah, we used that in Novaheart, and a lot of those elements came across. You know, we were using Mellotron in the old days, and the first Spoons album has Mellotron on it. If anybody knows anything prog rock, that's a staple of those bands. And it's it was a funny transition, but the 80s were great. You know, there was so much diversity. It didn't even matter how well you played your guitar. It didn't matter what strange sounds you could get out of it, you know, or the songwriting and the arrangements were so different. So if you were different, you had a shot at it. And there were so many styles, too, at one time. You know?
Yeah, there was a lot in these. Everything from what you guys did, the new wave thing, to, well, by the end of it, Guns N' Roses.
Electronic, yeah. You know, then there was ska music, and there was punk, there was, you know, sort of new romantic, which is kind of what we became later on, a bit more sophisticated and polished. We had a lot of stuff going on at the same time, so we squeaked in there.
Well, I think you did pretty good.
Yeah.
And then jumping us so much forward, I have to ask, so it's been about 8 years since you've released an album, and just tell us, what's been going on in the past 8 years?
Well, that album, even the one 8 years ago, I never thought that would be made. You know, as far as I knew, the 80s were done when the 90s hit and grunge music came in, and I thought that was it. I thought we'd never play again, nobody ever care again. But, of course, the whole retro 80s thing started, and look where it's gone. I thought maybe it was a fad, but no, it keeps building and building. And so when the time came, like roughly years ago, I kind of had a couple of songs, but I wasn't going to force them on anybody. Then I see other bands like Duran Duran coming back with albums, and I think, well, you know what, maybe it's time to do it, and it was. And it was one of my favorite records. And then in the meantime, I mean, I had other bands. I embraced the whole change in music when grunge came in. I'm a guitar player, so I kept doing that. I wrote some soundtrack stuff. I put a book out, all that sort of thing. And in the meantime, this is just in the last couple of years, I've also become a member of Flock of Seagulls, another 80s band from Liverpool, England. Of course, with their big song, I Ran. So I've been busy with them. So, like they say, if you wait long enough, it all comes back and tenfold sometimes.
Yeah. Now, you're touring. Were you, in the past few years, have you done probably a lot of festivals, that kind of thing, with the 80s resurgence?
Absolutely. Festivals and theaters and that sort of thing.
What's your audience like?
Oh, they're great. And they're all bringing their kids out now, too. And the nice thing is, first I thought maybe the parents were forcing their kids to come out and check out the 80s music, but they like it. Plus, we get a whole new bunch of younger listeners, because a lot of the new bands that are out have a bit of 80s flavor to them. I think of all the bands that have sort of those synth sounds and drum machines, it's current again. So we could easily be a band that, you know, some young person has never heard of before and go, hey, here's a cool new band that's got sort of an 80s thing going on.
Well, and the thing is, I run in Pro Tools, and I use a lot of plugins. And the thing is that, like, Arteria and stuff like that has put out, you know, plugins with all the old Jupiter 6s and 8s and all that. All that, like the stuff that, like, FM, those guys used a lot of that,
yeah,
too.
And I'm going to chirp in here as a fashionable sense lady. And the 80s is just so colorful. Like, I have to say, but your crowds are just like a rainbow.
Oh, and I know. You know, I tell people sometimes the 80s were like 10 years of Halloween. You know, it was all about the fashion and the hair. It was a little crazy, but it was ridiculous, but pretty amazing at the same time. And I mean, some of the things we'll leave behind, like the mullets and the shoulder pads and stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff that I think it's here to stay. I don't think it's just a nostalgia thing anymore. I think it's a genre of music that's yeah. like firmly rooted in music culture now.
Well, that's what, one thing I'm going to introduce just a little bit about the album that you've come out with. But I love what you said. You know what? This isn't just like a comeback. It's a rebranding of it. It's a carrying forward of it. Not just like, okay, let's just have a huge comeback. It's totally its own movement.
No.
Like you said. I love that.
No, I don't look back. I don't really like listening to older music that much. And this album, like I say, it sounds really current. But it has elements of us. You can always tell it's us. I would never make something where people go, who's this? And I think we have a certain style that always comes through. But like the title says, it's kind of like never say never. You know, it's a new day. Who knows what's going to happen? And I never expected, it's not coming out until the 22nd, but we've let people in the industry hear it. And of course, friends and family. And I've never had such a good reaction from something, except for maybe way back the beginning with Nova Heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's me. As soon as I remember when you said that, and then as soon as I got here, because woohoo, all of our listeners, we've had a sneak peek at this song, and
this is great.
Yeah, and it does. It totally makes you jump to the summertime. It has this really summer fun, like just a cool vibe to it. And what I'll do, I'm gonna read the bio it's a new world. A new day, a new world, and that's the name of the album, everybody. And we're gonna be playing for you a little later. Woohoo!
The song "Beautiful Trap."
Yeah. But just about the album, everybody, New Day, New World is the first album released by the Spoons in over 8 years, evoking the fun summer days of hits like Romantic Traffic and Tell No Lies, but transporting them firmly into 2019. The opening song, All the Wrong Things, in the Right Places, is sure to become an anthem for fans new and old. An online contest, so this is how it actually came about, an online contest had listeners from across the country submit their chants for the song's chorus to be included in the final mix. Ooh, which I'm so excited for that. Beautiful Trap is a song about all the things we can't resist, no matter how hard we try, and even brings back the doots of Romantic Traffic. The band says it wasn't intentional, but like the lyrics of the song insist, it was unavoidable. It's in our DNA. And before I go on about that, how it just came out? You're like, oh my God, there it is again.
I know there are two songs on this album. It just happened without me trying. It's not like I sat down and said, I'm going to write another Romantic Traffic. But I came to a certain part and I started going, dude, dude. And said, oh, my God, how did that happen? But, you know, I'm not going to question it. There's a reason for it. And it's become a hook. So there you go.
Exactly.
and just going on, because we're going to talk about your tour in a bit. But it says here, it's a new day and a whole new world as the Spoons prepare to tour with their new album. And, of course, all the hit songs from almost 40 years. Oh, there it is, the 40. Of making music. Nova Heart, Arias and Symphonies, Romantic Traffic, Tell No Lies, Old Emotions, you guys know all these, and their Singularity remix of Nova Heart that has brought a whole new legion of fans along for the ride. New Day, New World is sure to do the same and open another chapter, see there's that story theme, in the Spoons' remarkable story. That's such a, I love that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think that's we started so long ago and we were so young, and it's like lots of time to do stuff, you know?
Yeah, you're growing up with it.
It is a great time to do it, too, when you're, you know, hitting 20 and getting out there and doing stuff and touring the country.
Yeah,
I've done it, so.
You touring people.
Well, it's not like the old days where we jump into a van. Now we fly everywhere and there's equipment waiting for us. So it's a little easier than it used to be, but it's still a lot.
So exciting.
I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, and connecting with your fans, again, both old and new ones is a lot of fun, too, as you know, obviously.
Well, you know what? Oh, totally. You know, some people just don't like after a show, you know, doing the meet and greet. I love it because I want to hear the stories from the fans. I want to hear how, you know, that's the most rewarding thing. So, you know, I heard your song, and that's where I met my wife, and we've been together for 40 years, and we first heard your song at the high school dance. You know, stuff like that is priceless.
No, dude. I mean, that is priceless.
Do you have that recorded? Like, have you been, like, you know, it's just all in your mind? Or?
What?
All the members and the fans that tell you that.
Oh, well, that's good.
Oh, no, that stuff happens, like, every time. I've heard some great stories. Like, some are funny and some are kind of touching or you know, some are difficult. You know, people said they lost somebody and they would listen to our record and help them get through that or go through a difficult childhood in school. They were a loner and nobody, you know, bullied, and I hear stuff like that. I go, oh my God, that's beyond, you know.
Okay,
that people
that
to
is
music.
The story right there. I love mm-hmm. that. That's so meaningful. And you know, I'm jumping back, but I just also learned and read that you guys actually got to do the very first ever video when Much Music launched, like their very first show.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I didn't even realize that till years later. Like I said, I wrote a book a couple of years ago, and like, you know, all the juicy stuff about the spoons. I tell people it's like my 50 Shades of Spoons, but it's not really like that. It's a nice clean story. It's not bad, but I don't trash anybody. But when I was sort of doing some research on things in the past, a lot of things came out I didn't even realize. And that was one of them that, you know, we were on the very first episode of Much Music with Duran Duran and I think Howard Jones. And then I found out that we were sort of instrumental in Much Music even being done because Moses Neimer at the time, he was trying to convince the higher-ups at City TV that there was a demographic for this kind of thing for young people. And he liked us because we were young and fashionable and we had a girl in the band. And he did an hour TV special with him. And that helped, you know, Much Music got off the ground. But I didn't know that till years later. You know, so, yeah, it's cool.
I didn't know that either until right now.
What we'd love to do is actually play the hits. Well, it's already hit in my world. Yeah. So everybody, we're going to play the single being released, Beautiful Trap, and it's from the album New Day, New World. It's the Spoons 2019.
Here we go.
Every story has a star. It's the middle and stars, 'cause I'm always gonna fall. I'm always gonna fall for that again.
It's a beautiful trap.
On
a
spoon.
Spoon. Were you dancing in the studio?
Technically, the spoon.
See, and everybody, we want to remind you and let you know, the album is called...
We've Lost Gord.
We've Lost Gord. We want to... Oh, wait, he's called... Oh, hold on, he's texting here. Hold on, let's get him back in. Let's see here. The soul come ended. Oh. No, call back in. Hold on, let me just let him know. Call back in. Well, you guys are all still probably dancing from that song.
That was a great song. I really like the song. There's lots of new sounds. It sounds fresh.
It did sound like that. It was actually had the new and the, not old, I don't want to say old. Had, yeah, fresh. Fresh and new.
You know, it's got a new vibe to it and the doot-doot-doot. I like the doot-doot-doot.
There you go. Well, we were going to, well, just again, we want to mention to everybody that that album is called New Day, New World, and that song was Beautiful Trap, and I know you guys are all just loving it. We want to also let, we're going to hopefully get him back in here, but because you guys can all go check it out and go to the concert, the release.
Well, there's a release party, which we're going to ask them where it was, and that's going to be released, I would assume, on Apple Music and all those kind of things as well.
So, yeah, a concert, so the release would be, the, what is it? The, I know there's a special. The
party. See the release party?
Mm-hmm. On?
I don't know where. We don't know. We have to ask Norfolk. We have to ask Norfolk where the party is. I'm not sure how that's going. So, but as I said, the release of the album would be on your Spotify and this kind of thing, I think. I'm not sure, but we have to find it from him when he if we can get him back on the line here.
All right. You know, we can also put all the details, everybody. But you know what? I know it's going to be in Toronto. We've got Friday was the,
I don't know what happened,
the pre-release
there.
Party. It's going to be. Oh, there we go, Gordon. Hello. Yay, Gordon.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I'm back.
Well, that's okay. Well, we were just letting everybody know they can come and see you this weekend. But do you want to give some details about, and also we congratulated you. We loved it.
We did love the song.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Were you dancing around the studio?
I
was. Were. Yeah, definitely. You know, while we're on it really quick was, I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah, okay.
Was your new band members, do you want to mention who they are?
Yeah, well, obviously still Sandy and I, but Chris McNeil on drums, and he's been with us for, the new guy's been with us, geez, 8 years now, so not that new. But you have to remember that the original guys, we were only together 6 years, so the newer guy's been with us longer. But it's Chris McNeil on drums and Casey MQ on keyboards. I say MQ because it's a hyphenated long name that I can't pronounce. He likes to go under MQ.
That's great. Fantastic. So where is the, I guess we'll move on. So is this a public release party or is this an invite? How does that work?
No, it's public. It's the 23rd is the main one in Toronto, and that's already sold out at the Great Hall. There's still some tickets available from the night before at the 22nd at Maxwell's in Waterloo, Ontario. And we're going to treat that like a release party now, too, because vinyl and CDs will be ready by then. Originally, they weren't going to be. So we'll just call that the release party West End at Waterloo and Maxwell's on the Friday night, the 22nd.
Okay, great. And now, will it be going on to the streaming services, or are you going to hold off on that for a bit?
Oh, no. Anywhere possible, it'll be going. And it's nice that,
cool.
Music stores are back on the merit of vinyl. You know, stores are opening again, which is great.
Yeah.
It's so that it'll be in stores and online, and then, of course, all the iTunes and over the world and stuff like that and streaming.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And we'd just like to thank you.
Yeah. Well, I want to say one quick thing, because you do have a book out, and I want people to grab that, because, if they do want to know, behind the scenes and stories from you, it's actually a really cool title, Spoon Fed, which I think was so clever.
That's great.
Yeah, it's still available. Yeah, it's a good story. And I was joking about the 50 Shades of Spoon thing. It's not a tell-all thing, but it's a good story. And I've actually done a lot of school presentations from elementary up to high school, just talking about life and following your dreams and stuff, because it's such a remarkable story about your young kids from Burlington, Ontario, middle of nowhere, and how they went international. And it's got a lot of, it's not like your average rock and roll biography. It's got a lot of little tangents about life and following your dreams and music, whatever else you do. So yeah, it's still out there. You can get chapters, Indigos, Amazon, Spoons Music, Com, all those places. It's a good story.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. And the one last thing I just want to mention, I was happened to be out on Monday night, and I was at the Rex Hotel. I don't know if you've been to the Rex Hotel, but an old friend of yours, Mark Kelso, said to say hello. Mark's been on our show.
I don't know that name. Yeah, that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, you were on
the
remake.
The longer you're around, the old friends come out of the woodwork. They all start coming back. I welcome them back.
Yeah.
We want to relive those days. That was a great time.
Aw. Well, thank you so much, Gordon and Jeff from...
Oh, thank you for having me. That was fun.
All right, then.
Thanks, Gordon.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Om Times magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are
the
inspired
and the inspiration.
Imagine tapping into a power where you could access the ability to transform your views of money, success, happiness, and fulfillment. A power that you could unlock hidden talents, uncover new meaning, and amplify the significance of your purpose. Well, the feminine heart is the source of that power, intelligence, insight, and understanding. Join this new wave of women's leadership that's emerging. Be the woman who knows her greatest power to create goes well beyond the day-to-day striving for results. Be the woman who knows her true power to contribute to the world in significant ways is one that expresses her heart, enlivens her creativity, and elevates her spirit. Rise, amazing woman, rise. An amazing woman legacy book compiled by Marsh Engel, sharing the 8 essential powers of the feminine from 8 influential mentors, entrepreneurs, and change makers that will help you tap into that power. Rise, amazing woman, rise. Your legacy begins by leading with a feminine heart.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. We're back with Musical Chairs. I'm co-host Eric Lambier.
And I'm Lisa Berry.
And online, we have a brand new guest right now with us. And we'd like to welcome Heather Whaley to the show. Welcome, Heather.
Welcome. Hey, how are you, Eric?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
I really enjoyed the interview with Gordon. That was awesome.
Oh, great. That's fantastic. He's a good guy to talk to, isn't he?
I love the fact that I can actually remember the 80s dancing in the kitchen as a young mother, bringing up my children and listening to that music. So it was wonderful.
Fabulous.
And, you know, speaking of young children, this is perfect for you because of all the stories that you get to share and talk about. Well, what I'm going to do is let everybody know who you are, and because we also have some music coming from you in a short bit, too. But everybody, we want to introduce you to Heather Whaley, and she is an orator who is best known as a musical storyteller, singer, songwriter for both adults and children. She also produces live concerts and is an online SC Radio CC producer, which we're going to be asking you what that is, Heather.
Okay, great.
And Heather tells and sings traditional and original stories and songs and has performed and toured nationally and internationally in many venues, including schools, libraries, cafes, festivals, pubs, and for special community events. She is a regular voice with Durham Storytellers, Storytelling Toronto, and Storytellers of Canada, as well as with speaker platforms such as Mo Mondays. We've definitely been there, yeah, and I am.
Oh, have you? Oh, cool.
Yes, yes. And Mars Talk, contributing music and story sprinkled, I love that word, with pathos and humor. She was recently heard at the Gladstone Hotel during the 40th Toronto Storytelling Festival, one of the many occasions she has told at the TO Festival. And Heather has also performed at the Harbourfront Center. Woo! Daniel's Spectrum,
yeah.
Hard Rock Cafe. Look at you go. We've got Flame at Cottage Bistro in Vancouver and University of British Columbia's Liars Contest. Ooh, you placed third place winner. Look at you.
Yeah, it was fun.
And as well as in the Maritimes, California, South Carolina, and Buenos Aires.
Wait, yes, I have. Thank you.
That's a long life, Heather.
A few years.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the thing that I loved, I have so many questions for you, but the storytelling really, and you know what, every artist that we do have, that's why they write songs, is because they are telling stories. So is that,
that's right,
is that where you came from? Or like, you did storytelling, but there's music involved.
How did you start with that? Was it storytelling first, or was it music first, or both?
Well, actually, probably storytelling first, without the acknowledgement that I had my inner songwriter. It was interesting because I grew up in a family that was quite musical. My father was Scottish, and he played accordion. So he played every day, he'd sit in the, you know, between the kitchen and the living room. So, and the storytelling, you know, back in the 60s when you had a large family was always prevalent. In fact, in all our homes, right, we tell stories. And him being an immigrant, we heard a lot of his tales from Scotland. So it was, you know, those stories were inbred. But I started working at the Whitby Public Library in about 1989. And it was interesting. I was introduced to storytelling through the chief librarian. And part of the core programming in libraries is introducing, you know, nursery rhymes and song and stories to wee ones. And it came so naturally to me, and it was quite a surprise. And I had really been writing some songs at home with my own children just for fun. Never the thought of producing anything or you know, using these songs anywhere. And I'd written poetry for years and years. So I started at the library, and it was really an eye-opener because I discovered how rich my culture was.
Yeah.
I grew up in Thunder Bay.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I grew up in Thunder Bay and moved to Toronto after I married in 77. And when I heard the word multiculturalism or diversity, you know, in Toronto, it made me think about my home and being, you know, where I grew up. And many of us are children of parents who immigrated to Canada.
Absolutely.
Of course, the Scottish, Irish, Polish. We had a lot of Finnish people in Thunder Bay and still. And I also, you know, we went to Mount McKay up to the Sleeping Giant, and we listened to powwows for First Nations people.
Ooh.
Right. So the storytelling was always there.
Right.
And of course, music was incorporated into it. But I really hadn't discovered all of that until I was able to, you know, work in an environment where I was able to open up and share. And so along with the core programming in the library, there were special programs. And that's where I was able to branch out and discover that, you know, my poetry.
Right.
I converted quite often to song.
Right.
The audiences. Right. So that's sort of where it started off, the long explanation. You know, and then other teachers and librarians outside of the library and venues started to ask me, would you come? You know, would you come and tell stories and would you sing? So that's sort of how it started.
And you did public schools and things like that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, many public schools right throughout the GTA. Of course, that advanced over the years. I started professionally about 1996, I think. So I was still working at the library until about 2002, and that's when I resigned just to go, well, to go full-time and to do a few other things in my life, right?
Right. So, you know, I love it when you put the words and storytelling to song, or you just include instruments. I mean, that's what they do when you're in school. They give you like a little triangle or a little wooden stick to hammer on. And it's because it actually helps you remember the story. And also, I'm really interested in with you. You actually broke out into song telling stories, and usually people are rather nervous. You know, like their nerves get them, and then it's hard to get up and even sing. And my question was, and I really would love it if you, I know I'm getting you to pull this off the top of your head, but if somebody's okay out there and they're nervous and they want to tell a story, but I know that you did a contest and you was like, how do you prepare so that your nerves are kind of calm enough that you can get out and do this?
Well, I think the main thing with storytelling, or even, you know, you can attest to this, Eric, if you know your song, if you know the background and your
connection,
right, and your intent, knowing your material, definitely if you're going to go out and you know people are going to pay to see you or hear you, you're hired at a school or whatever, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to rehearse. Practice is very imperative, but I think knowing your stories, whether they're folk tales, fairy tales, legends, whether they're your own stories. That's the essential element, knowing right. your tale and not being stuck to the story word for word.
Right.
Storytelling is not memorizing.
Be able to roll with it.
Right. I mean, it's not memorizing in the sense, unless you're going to tell a literary tale, quite often the literary tales, you know, the language is so rich and the visuals and such, you know, provoke a very unique imagination in the listener or reader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those literary ones, sometimes, you know, we like pay respect to them and may stick closer to that language, which, you know, is not our modern day language, right, the way we would normally speak. But in storytelling, and especially today, we revise and we adapt stories. And many of us, and I tend to do this, I like to stick to the original story, as grim as it may be, or as, you know, maybe something that causes a bit of controversy.
Right, yeah.
I still like to, you know, stick to those stories and keep them alive. But in answering your question, I think you need to know your material. And the nerves, I think when I first started off, of course, oh, terrible, terribly nervous, especially my first time away from a familiar environment, such as, you know, the public library where I was hired. The public came in to see me because those programs were available. To go out and actually be a feature performer and people right. pay to come and see you, you've got a responsibility, right?
Right.
You do anyway, but that yeah. responsibility is very important. So,
Sure.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah.
You know, that really does, because I'm imagining the people, what I know when I've been nervous, let's say, it's because either, like you had mentioned, I don't know my content. I'm not as prepared as I could be or that I think I am. And secondly, now I'm in a new environment. New environment is huge. Like, Eric, you play different when you go to a new environment. It's like, woo.
And I'm still nervous, even if I know my own stuff sometimes.
Yeah, me too. I am too, Eric, especially if I am playing my own material.
Yeah.
If I'm doing a folk song, or, you know, I mean, I'm singing something that people are familiar with. I'm pretty good because they'll sing along quite often.
Yes.
If they don't know my, and well, I get in trouble sometimes because I may begin a traditional song and you know, change a key, a chord or whatever, and the purists, you know, will be the first to come up and say, okay, I was trying to sing, I gave my love a cherry, but you really threw me off with that minor chord. I go, well, this is the way I feel it.
This is the way
I interpret. And that's another thing when we go out, even singing our song, we have to be open to realizing that our audiences are going to interpret, based on their own experiences and background and who they are.
Exactly.
So you can't make them understand exactly what you may want to relay. They're going to perceive it in their
own. And it's great when people get their own sometimes their own thing out of it.
Their own story.
And it surprises you when you talk to them, I imagine.
For sure.
Well, you know what, Heather, we would love to play one of your songs. Actually, we have it all lined up for you, and I want to let everybody know, first of all, I know they're going to enjoy it. This is one of my favorite songs, but this is a song.
Oh, great.
Yeah, like you just can't not dance to the song. And then when we come back after the song, I want to ask you, what are some key components that everybody should really have in a story to make it, you know, a hit, you know, in their own world? Like just a little tip for them. But first of all, Eric, do you want to introduce Heather?
This is Heather Whaley. We're going to play her song, Life is a Fast Track. And I had the honor of playing on this song.
You did. It was so
good.
Thank you. And helping me arrange.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you took the role of that.
I'm pretty demanding.
It was a great collaboration, though. So this is Life is a Fast Track by Heather Whaley.
Life
is a fast track. Time goes round and round. Life is a fast track, but it won't get me down. It's a good life. It's a crazy life. It's an up and down roller coaster, smooth, rough ride. That's life. Life is a fast track. Time goes round and round. Life is a fast track, but it won't get me down. It's a good life. It's a crazy life. It's an up and down roller coaster, smooth, rough ride. That's life. So hanging in this room, sharing our stories of happiness and gloom. Everybody has something to say about this world we live in each and every day. Life is a fast track, time goes round and round. Life is a fast track, but songs and music dance our feet right off the ground.
life.
Thank you. We were dancing up a storm. I was like, oh gosh, did we just bump it off?
So I play that out with just my guitar. Can you imagine that? That's hard. I hear all that wonderful piano playing, and sometimes I speed up. quite a bit faster.
Yes. Oh, I just love it. You know, one thing I love that you've incorporated there is such everything is contrasting. It's rough, it's smooth, it's fast, it's, you know, it's just so.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. But yours must have a blast.
All rolled into one with that one.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned that you wanted to hear a few elements of songwriting.
I think that was
your question. Storytelling in songwriting and storytelling. But always there's that authenticity, right?
Yeah.
Who you are and just having a natural voice, being relatable, that kind of thing.
Really?
When I wrote Life as a Fast Track, I guess I could give it as an example. Well, I'm going to be polite, but I was going through such a terrible time. And we do in our lives. I had a young brother who was a drug addict, and he passed away at 45. So around that time, I was just feeling so gloomy, and you know, other things happen. But I was living in a house at the time that looked out into my backyard, which, you know, a lot of trees, and I had a swimming pool. And I stood there, and I thought, wow, this is gorgeous. You know, how lucky am I? Blah, blah. It might be a cliche, but it's so true. I took a good look at, you know, what's wonderful in life and how fast it moves.
How fast it moves.
You know, without getting everybody in a, you know, gloomy frame of mind, you know, the thing is it does move fast and things happen. And there's a lot of good things that happen. If we allow all those horrible things to take over, well, then, you know, we can be in a sad state. So that's where that song came about. And I have no idea where the rhythm, you know, might have been inspired. It just happened. It sort of fell on the page. And the lyrics especially.
It's got a nice kind of 40s feel to me. Or
yeah.
You know,
thank you. That's it. Yeah, that's interesting because all my life, I mean, I did sing when I was younger. I used to do, we're going way back, variety shows.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did those too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
That was so much fun. And I was often the lead singer. And that's another thing. When I started working at the library, I'd forgotten all of that. I was a nurse for years, and then I stayed home with my children. I was a closet writer. You know, I always sang in the kitchen. I always sang, but not around anyone. But that 40s and 30s that you mentioned, when I was a young girl, you might get a kick out of this. We grew up in a little war house.
Yes.
And we had one bathroom with 8 people.
Oh, it happened.
There was no privacy to sing and, you know, do anything anywhere. So the bathroom was my spot. And there was a pedestal to, you know, sink. And the washing machine was in there. But I would shut that door. And in my naivety, you know, not thinking that anybody could hear me, I would, you know, belly up to that little mirror near the pedestal sink, and I would start singing Doris Day songs and, you know, all these.
Yeah.
You know, when I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, and I'd open the door, and there'd be all these heads standing there laughing at me, my brothers, my siblings. But that was the music that I, you know, I really enjoyed when I was younger. Of course,
You know, that's one way to get over stage fright, I'll tell you. You know, have a big family. Yeah. And you've actually just won my heart even more, because Doris Day is my absolute favorite. Ella Fitzgerald, and Doris Day, I love singing. And because, you know what, they are stories. I mean, they were a lot of movies, you know, that they're acting them and they sang them. So I love that it feels like what you're sharing with people. First of all, you haven't hit about any age here, so I mean, live your dream. It doesn't end. You can just, there's always a place for somebody if you've got a story and you want to tell it.
Absolutely. I really didn't have a dream of being on a stage or doing, you know, what I'm doing. It was just a wonderful revelation that I discovered, and I just, you know, I like it. It's a wonderful release. I'm being a bit selfish because I think if I didn't have the storytelling and the community of storytellers that I have, I really don't know, you know, what my life would be like. And so, you know, I do it a lot because of what I get out of it as well. And I love looking out at the audiences, right from wee ones right up to adults, telling them a story, whether, again, it's, you know, a traditional or one, you know, I tell many stories from my growing up in Thunder Bay. I have a lot of humorous tales, some very sensitive. Yeah, some very sensitive. Mixing the tradition with the, you know, original and stuff like that. So.
Right. So where can people find you if they want to book you?
Well, you can go onto my website. It's just heatherwhaley.ca. It's in being revised right now, but check me out there. I do tell some memoir tales as well to adults, and check it out. And I would, you know, be happy to speak with you.
Right on. I know you're on Facebook too, correct?
I'm on Facebook as well, yes. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Thank you, Heather.
Well, thank you. It's been awesome.
And everybody, it's Heather Elaine Whaley that we, if you want to find her on Facebook.
And you know why I said Elaine?
Why?
Because there's another spoken word artist who's actually become a movie star, but her material was a bit raunchy, so I better put Elaine in there. I'm going to get in trouble.
you're the cleaned up version. All right, so Heather Elaine Whaley is the cleaned up version. Well, thank you, everybody. We've had a fun show.
Thank you, America.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, take care.
Tune in next 2 weeks. Oh, next show.
Next show. 2 weeks.
Woo-hoo!
Episode of Musical Chair.
Bye, Eric.
Thanks, our guest. Thank you. Bye, Lisa.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Thank you.